This is Julie.
Hey, calendar, what's my morning like?
Julie's about to have a long day.
At 9 a.m., soccer carpool. 9:10, purchase birthday card. 9:05, dry cleaning.
Did you just go backwards?
I'm sorry, I can't fit that question into your schedule. 9:15, cry for a little bit.
For days that won't end, let Schwann's help. With Schwann's, you can get delicious meals that go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. Visit today at Schwann's.com.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement: change lives. And we're here today, actually, as a special treat in the Dreamshine office, in my office here at Dreamshine. I'm wearing this ugly sweater because it's ugly sweater day before Christmas. We're having our drive to explain it so they're not just like, what is going on? We're having our Dreamshine Christmas party for our individuals with special needs. And I'm honored today. I have Mr. Daniel Kreese here, who...
Good morning.
We'll get into both of you, sir. We have a lot going on, but most recently, your multicultural center. So what do you call yourself as your title for everything that you have going on, Mr. Daniel?
I'm the executive director of the Q. Daniel Kreese Multicultural Center. And once we put the reason for putting the multicultural on the name is because I wanted to reach out to as many different nationalities as I possibly can and bring what they're going through, their trials and tribulations, and what their contributions are in their newfound homeland, which is now United States. So
awesome.
By giving it the multicultural name, other people will see that name, you'll see it on media and everything like that, say, hey, what's going on there?
Absolutely. And you're gonna hear what's going on there, and also some of the backstory of the struggle to get it to where it is now, and what the awesome vision is that's happening. And then I have Elder Dwayne Lopes
here. Yes, sir.
And of course, got author here. When did this come out, My Father's Business?
Actually, it came out October 2011, actually, the book. I went back and made some changes to the book, and especially with the inside content of the book. There were some things that God downloaded inside my spirit that he wanted me to retouch up and reword and so forth, changing the content. But the book is basically about, God's will for people's lives. A lot of people don't know what God's will is for their lives. And, I talk about, three aspects, four. God's will for his son Jesus. First, God's work for his son Jesus, because the work of Jesus was the miracles that he performed here on the earth, healing the blind, opening up deaf ears, raising the dead. That was just the work of miracles. And then I talk about the will for Jesus that God gave him, which was dying on the cross for humanity's sins. And then I talk about the will that God has for us as people on this earth. And people don't know, when you ask them what is God's will for your life, they'll look at you kind of dumbfounded and just say, I really don't know.
Nice.
We don't have enough time to talk about the details of
we'll have a link where everyone can purchase it and learn more about it. And what's cool with sharing this and having both of you here today is, first of all, I connected with both of you from getting to go to the Multicultural Center.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
From being on the show that's on your show on the Now Network.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we'll have all the links where everyone can connect with both of you.
Yes.
See what's going on. Check out the shows. Check out the Multicultural Center. And all three of us, it was really cool, especially being on the show, but I really just liked hanging out with both of you. Mm-hmm. And learning, you both had so much that you were doing now, you both had overcome so much, and also the relationship, like the bond the two of you had, and all the jokes. it was just really cool to see that, you know, what you guys had built
yes.
over the years. And I just think a lot of times people can see what you have going on now, the books, the businesses, the TV networks, and not think that there was like a history of any type of struggle, and think, well, Daniel and Elder Lopes, you know, they must have just, they didn't go through what I went through, you know, they must have been on that other end of the block where there wasn't the struggle. And I have people, you know, everyone on doing my show knows I was in jail at age 17 and doing every, mm-hmm. lucky to even be alive, thank God, you know. And as I talk to both of you more and more, there's different level. I mean, that could be a whole show going through so much that you both overcome. But something specifically we were talking pre-show, and it's a really powerful example of what happened with your stepson getting shot.
Yes, he was murdered, and they did a home invasion on him.
How old?
Actually, when he died, was around 22, and he was young, and he went down the wrong road, you know, but he was brought up in church, actually. It's just that the streets, they call our young men, especially African American men, the streets, it's like a calling that calls them. And actually, through his death, became the birth of my prison ministry. Mm. And because I, you know, I was reminiscing on how he died and why he died and why I was in college, I wrote a paper titled "Why There Was Such a Mass Incarceration of African American Males." And
yeah.
My professor, what I found out, it was a pattern, and I found out through this. This pattern of, you know, poverty, poor education, peer pressure, single parenting, and also poor moral principles. I found out through my professor when he read the paper, he gave me an A+, and he said, "Dwayne, I never actually read so much depth information. Where did you get all this information? And it's so factual. It brought tears to my eyes." So that let me know that there was, when I saw this deadly cycle, this carousel pattern that was taking place that causes this mass incarceration of African American males, I looked at my son, because he was my stepson. He was incarcerated at one time, and then they released him, and then he went back to the streets and, you know, did some illegal activities, and it cost him his life. So I knew that I couldn't just stay on the sideline and be quiet any longer.
Yeah.
It birthed a flame inside of me. And that's the reason why I'm passionate, and I'm persistent, and also I'm very adamant about going inside the prisons, because I walk up and down the aisles when I'm teaching too. I have
cool.
no fear
that's
whatsoever
cool.
because I want to bring liberation.
Yeah.
To the minds that are incarcerated, not just physically incarceration, but mental incarceration.
Well, there's so many people everyone's going through something, and to know whether they're on the flip side of they're on the parenting end of that, or they're on the younger generation of being stuck, I think, like you were saying, in a cycle.
Yes.
There's so many, and there's a lot of people. There's different levels of cycles, like you were saying. There's been the problem where a lot of African American, I mean, even where I was, where there was a lot of the poorer areas, like where when I was in the trailer park, and it was almost like everyone there was doing something,
right.
No matter what color
mm-hmm.
their skin was. It was like 90% of the people were thinking, this is the only way that we can, it was like all we kept seeing around us. It was our environment. It was like the successful people, they're born that way. They're the, you know, they'd be like, you're a sellout if you're like that. And I just remember being on the other end thinking, I was like stuck in that stupid kind of victim mindset, thinking there was no way to break the cycle. And now we see like what's going on now, and even with you building your own, there's a long story behind it about starting to build your own business. Yeah. What would you say would be a cycle that you felt that you were stuck in before that led to, like, what inspired you to think, I can start to do this and have my own company now? Okay. A lot of people around you are probably saying, it's not life doesn't work. Look yeah, like yeah, this. It, That's for not for, we don't do, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. For one, I disagree to a point of about, you often hear that it's a single mother. Single mothers have been raising kids for a long time. Now,
that's why I'm sitting in the middle of them.
with this generation now, and they call it the millennial generation, what have you. Unfortunately, laws of the land have stripped parents to be able to effectively correct their child.
Correct.
It's clearly states in the Bible. It's not a parable that you can misunderstand. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And the reason why that's so imperative, that some of the kids' heads so hard, put them in a corner and call them time out, it's not going to work at all. They'll think it's a joke. Most of the kids nowadays, if you go in their room, you might as well send them to Disneyland. They got their computers. They can reach out. You know.
It's true. No, and it says,
it's a different day and time.
The world's going to be, the truth is, and every kid has a different type, like with having five, there's one of my kids, like my daughter, if I yell at her, that's like, I spank the, that's to her. To my son, if you yell at him, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And you got to do with everyone, because the bigger thing is, the world's going to be way harder on you.
Right, exactly.
Then, on the flip side of it, there's, you got prison, you got people come in with guns.
Yeah. Well, look at
so
it this
it's
way.
Like, I'm really trying to help you.
Look at it this way. If you gave police the same authority that you have given to the parents now, no guns, no baton, you're not allowed to put your hands on anybody. If you do, you can go to jail for domestic violence. Give the police that same authority and see how effective policing will be. Because there's no way in the world that they can say, hey, freeze, don't you move. Like they're going to listen to you.
Unless you're going to time out.
Yes.
You're trying to sit in your room with your iPad and your iPhone.
Exactly.
Go to the police car.
Can you imagine that?
In your room.
As a matter of fact, I want you to go to the police station, turn yourself in. You know.
And shut your cell phone off.
Exactly. How dare you? You know? So now that we have shifted to another, you see that that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's a whole nother dynamic behind sparing the rod, spoiling the child, or telling parents they can't look. Because now with the domestic violence charge, a lot of people, if you have CDLs, you get a domestic violence charge, they take it. If you have a prominent position in your corporation, you get a domestic violence charge, they will demote you or fire you. They say you can't maintain this job. So oftentimes, parents are handcuffed. Well, the only thing they did have going for them was respect. You're going to respect me. And if you don't, this is the result of you not respecting me. I told my son, I said, son, that room you reside in, what do you call it? He said, that's my room. I said, technically speaking, that's my room.
Yeah.
I loaned it. It's on loan to you.
You're not paying the rent or the mortgage.
Exactly. Yeah. It's on loan to you. So oftentimes we used to get in arguments and I would say, everybody paying on the mortgage, raise your hand. So since I'm the only one raising my hand and everything like that, my rule is law. I'm the sheriff here.
Same with you, with kids and fun. I've seen it now. Each new kid that I had, and we're done now with five, each younger generation, everyone in the class is having like a phone and stuff earlier and earlier.
Right.
And that, it's up to the parents how they want to work all that out. Do it however you think is best. But also, I'm paying the bill on this phone. I'm going to have the password and look at anything I want anytime on the phone that I pay the bill for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If you have your own phone that you pay the bill for and you're living on your own, you do what you want. If I'm paying it and I want to check, I don't need to ask your permission.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'll do it as you get more, we'll do it age appropriately and I won't just be disrespectful. But if I ever need to, I don't need to also give you a reason why. Because I know some parents that are like, I don't want to get in any of my kids' business. I don't want... Well, what if, but you need to sometimes.
I totally disagree. Right? Again, parents that would say that, I totally disagree to it, because the problem is, oftentimes you hear, if somebody would have said something sooner, if somebody would have intervened, you got bullying. You know, bullying is at an all-time high. You got kids on drugs. You got kids that are in making bombs in their room.
Yeah.
If you don't go in and check your kid's room or go down in the basement and see them what they're doing.
Yeah.
What, you know, this comes along with the territory. So
yeah,
when
conflict.
You pray for these kids and God gives you these kids, he entrusts you to his precious gift.
Yeah,
you have to make good time management of what you've been put in charge of. And discipline is part of that.
Yeah.
Prying into their business is part of that.
And it takes more, because I think this is great. I like how, like with conflict, see, a lot of people look at conflict as always a negative thing, but the truth is healthy conflict leads to resolving, sometimes it's easier. Oh, it's like, I don't see it, I don't know what's happening, I'm just not going to deal with it, and we're going to pretend like nothing's going on. It takes more to get into it, and you got to get in with your kid and argue with them, but you're doing it because you love them, and you know what the world can do to them. I know what it can do to me, and I think it's lazier of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it so easy to just say, oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, that's lazy, because like you're saying, going back to your thing with a single mom, it's not necessarily just about a single mom.
Right.
It's about what is that, how is that mom doing with raising them? Is she just like, oh, you know, I'm not ever going to check. I'm not going to get your she the type that I'm going to get in. I'm going to do what I need to do. And
or yeah.
How many families do you know? I know multiple families. They had multiple kids, and the father was either passed or in prison or not there. And yet all the kids went to all five, all six, seven of them went to college.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are doing very well on the single mother, because she instilled something in the beginning. She instilled respect. They respected that mother. So nowadays, if you're not equipped to raise a kid, and you're given minimal, raising kids with one hand behind your back, you know what I mean, is even more different than not having another spouse there. I think that putting the kids in church, definitely. Putting them in positive after-school programs, definitely. If you don't have an after-school program, everything like that, there's people in the neighborhood that don't mind taking a kid to play basketball. The mother's not going to play basketball. Kid knows basketball, how he's going to learn?
Yeah.
So, and the father's not there. So you have to be 110%.
You got the YMCA.
Outlets, but you have to be 100% assertive in your kid's life as far as making sure they go down the right path. Because like you said, Elder Lowe said, the streets does they have a calling on it. Unfortunately, along with that calling, what you mentioned earlier, being in a trailer park, there's kids in an impoverished situation. There's a certain bravado about them, and they want to. They're destined to prove themselves.
They
want to prove themselves to a gang.
We've got a front. Like
they can stick your chest out. Like you're not afraid. You don't cry. You're not afraid. Scared. You know.
Yeah.
And really, you're terrified.
I wanted to say something about what you were saying, Daniel, about about the parenting skills, because what I was just telling my wife recently here, me and my wife will be adopting a little girl. And one thing I noticed, like I told her, I said, this little girl does not need weak parenting. She needs strong guidance and strong leadership in order to guide her in the right direction. And see, that's what I'm hearing, what Daniel is talking about. You know, as far as leadership skills, has to be strong in the parents. And some of those parents don't have that. Some parents lack that. And that's why the percentage was very high when I saw that there was a mass incarceration. Single parenting played a role. There are single parents, mothers. I was raised by a single mother. She did a great job. And you know, there are some out there that do raise their kids and they do go to college. But there are also single parents out there, mothers out there that will, they have weak parenting skills, and they just let their kids, they don't take the responsibility or the accountability to raise their kids, and they just let them run the streets so they can get out of their hair. And that is not parenting. My mother made sure that me and my brother, we always informed her where we were and where, when we're coming home.
Mandatory.
And, yeah, you know, whose friends we're hanging out with or we're going to spend the night at their house. We have to give her the address and everything. She has strong leadership skills as far as parenting is concerned.
So your mom made it a point to know.
Yeah. So you know, but what I see, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol or anyone can really turn to drugs and alcohol as an outlet to escape the realities of this world. But the thing is, you have a kid here, and if that kid does not motivate you to be better and to do better, then, it's kind of like God, like you said, God entrusted you with this child.
That's right.
You need to step up to the plate and provide for this child as God provides for you. And you need to get a dream, a vision, write the vision down, make it plain. Maybe the vision comes in a multicultural center form, or maybe it comes in to Elevating Beyond or Dream Shine, or maybe it comes into, book form, and that's, I'm working on my second book titled God's Mathematics, and that'll be out published 2019. I'll be complete with that as well. But also, I have a TV ministry called The Now Network, and not to get off track here, but what I wanted to say is Bishop T.D. Jakes said this once, and I recall the memory. He said that one thing you have to know about your kid as a parent, you might have five or six, but you need to know, do your kids possess a teachable spirit?
Yeah.
And you know deep down inside who has the aggressive spirit,
yes,
and who has the teachable spirit.
And there's different levels of kids. My son now, who's 17 and 240 pounds.
Wow.
It's a different type of confrontation. Like, okay, let me get the wooden spoon.
And
you don't want to be even doing, but
he might take the wooden spoon from you.
I don't mean to, I'm not trying to suggest brutality means.
But I get what you're saying, though. Yeah. But it's almost like you got to blend. You got to blend the best of everything together. It's like not just the I told you so, but also not too much of, oh, let me over explain it to you 500 times. And like, I know, so I met one parent couple that told me they don't use the word no to their kid. And I'm like, I can't even, I'm getting so mad at these parents.
Yeah,
don't when your kid wakes up in prison one day, or gets into the real world and tries to work for me, and I fire him because he isn't doing it the right way. I'm like, no, you can't. And he starts throwing it. No one tells me no.
Right.
And I'm like, you're not. In my head, I'm thinking, I'm not going to get into this. I'm thinking you're actually doing a disservice as a parent. So we're not saying to be on the end of beating him all the time and just saying, because I told you so, but also not to be on the end of, you got to find a middle ground.
Well, a prime example of that.
Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. The prime example of that is our athletes. They started getting recruited in now elementary.
Yeah.
Junior high. By high school, they already got a good bead on where they're going and what's not and how important they are, how impactful they're going to be. So all that time, you tell a kid no. And then all of a sudden, all that time you tell a kid he's not doing anything wrong. It's okay. And if he does do something wrong, we're going to fix it. If I can use Maurice Claret as an example, he went through a very hardship time. And now he's a prolific speaker.
Yeah.
I look forward to working with him.
Trussell
one day,
became like a father figure to him. Yeah.
So Maurice, if you're listening to this, I look forward to meeting you. But he has a very unique story.
I'm going
to
be getting him. I'm planning on getting him on the show.
Oh, well, that would be an excellent opportunity.
Yeah.
Because he shares his story.
Yeah.
Everybody's telling him, it's okay, we got you. And no one's saying no. So by the time, if you get to a point where you finally do say no, that's almost like a foreign language.
Well, then I think there's another good example there of making it to a certain level of success and still trying to hang back with the old crew, whatever it may be, of people that are pulling you down into, let's sell guns. And then thinking, am I being a sellout if I'm not hanging out with them? But the truth is, if you don't, you can love people, but if you don't learn to cut them out, that's a pure example. He ended up blowing his whole career, and went back to selling gun and doing that because and it just starts little steps of having a phone call, talking to, and I remember being there.
What if he had that guy there too? As you're falling, there's plateaus in your career as you're falling. As you go up, as you ascend, you come down, and there's points that you're going to see different people as you fall back down that they could have interjected or did try to say something to you, but you couldn't hear them. I mean, even what you mentioned early on, Mark, with the cell phones. Now, cell phones are a form of mass communication. If you hear something happens at your kid's school, and they got that cell phone and they can call you, that'll set your mind at ease, or even hearing their voice let you know you can immediately identify the level of urgency. Mm-hmm. So in that case, having a cell phone is good.
Absolutely.
But you just got to make sure whatever you put in their hand, whatever tool or instrument you use to a kid, you allow a kid to use, there's rules and guidance and guidelines that come along with that.
Yeah.
You're not to use this phone in school. If I call you or you call me and everything like that, this is the times to use it. So whatever you're giving them, whatever tool you're giving them in life, you have to make sure that you explain the rules and regulations that go along with this tool.
Absolutely.
And if they abuse it, then you take your phone away, you know.
And it's leadership. What, you know, you're both describing parenting as leadership. It's different because it's your kid and they're with you.
Well, I wanted to interject, Mark, real briefly, and what I'm hearing both of you and Daniel saying about parenting is, and discipline comes in two forms. Always keep that in mind. Discipline can come in the form of correction, punishment, or discipline can come in the form of teaching. So when your kids are past that age barrier of correction or punishment, like you said, you had a son that's 240 pounds.
Right.
Then
it's
you
almost,
have to.
Yeah, it's almost
you have
18.
To, yeah, 18.
It's not
well,
the same
of course,
as
he can't
deal with a 7-year-old.
Yeah, with the wooden spoon anymore. So he's going to have to go in the teaching form of discipline, where he's going to be more so the mentor of the parent as a parent to their kids. So you have to know which area to enter into as far as the kids. And you know, I just wanted to interject on that and say
no, it's
that.
True.
And
it's
because
like meeting them where their mindset is and
yeah, because that's one thing that I speak about in this book, My Father's Business, when I talk about the wrath of Jesus. Because remember, when Jesus, he was angry when he went inside the temple and he saw the religious leaders were selling their products at a costly price, and people were living in poverty at that time, and they were getting over on the people.
They were just using the church to make, they were just using it as a store. They just
storefront
scamming people.
People that couldn't afford pigeon doves and so forth, or turtle doves, and they were overpricing it. So he made a cord into a whip, and he cleaned house. But those are the two type of discipline forms that I speak about in this book, My Father's Business. And you can actually purchase this book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, once again.
And I'll have a link to it, too. And that cord into the, I love, every time I read that, I love that, because I think, I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I imagine, talk about, I mean, that Jesus went beast mode on. My grandma's breaking the switch. Jesus is whittling up a whip.
Cleaning house.
If my grandma would have had that, it would be like, come here.
Oh, yeah.
We called them willows.
Yeah.
We had a willow bush.
Imagine a whip coming
poisoned.
At you, man.
Well, there's two sides to God. And it's God has that loving side that everybody wants to be on, that grace and mercy side. But there's another side of God. That God has that wrath side, as we know about in Exodus when he destroyed Pharaoh through the Red Sea, and he brought the 10 plagues on Egypt. So we have to keep in mind that God is a loving God. He prefers to operate out of love. But at the same time, if you exhaust the grace, which it takes a lot to exhaust grace of God, then God, he will become judgmental and judge you at the end of your life. So.
It's really all out of love. A lot of times, some of the worst adversity, it's like as a parent, it's not like you enjoy if you spank your kid or something. It's not fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're doing the discipline because you love them, mm-hmm. and you want to, and you know they can be a better version of themselves. And I believe, like, when I went to jail and I'm with my face smashed and beat down, I realized God did that because he loved me, and that became pivotal to change scared me so much to start changing my life, because he knew I love you so much, I got better for you. I love you enough to let you get the crap beat out of you so bad.
Yes.
And I don't think he was up there smiling like, yeah, come on, kick his butt. Like, it's like a father. And like you're saying, there's two sides to it. But then also what we've been talking about with parenting, if we're using God as an example, which yes. we should be,
right.
if he's showing us that yes. there's both sides of this love,
yes.
we need to be, our responsibility as parents is to be doing this, because it's not whether you raise good kids, it's whether you raise them to become good men or women of character.
Correct. Yes, right. Correct. And as you went through that ordeal, one thing's for sure, I'd rather deal with the fact that my child has been bruised up versus getting that phone call saying my child's never going to come home again.
Yes.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I'd much rather deal. So true. I'd much rather deal with that. You meant. But as we say, ultimately, as your kids are going to test the water.
Absolutely.
They're definitely going to don't touch that hot pot. Well, why? And one of the things that I think that is so poignant, when we teach, when you come to the Q. Daniel Kreese Multicultural Center, as I bring mentors in, we had a great summer summit, and I had a former state representative speak.
Yes,
I have a current NFL football player speak. I have a current Golden Gloves boxer spoke to the kids, and I had a violin virtuoso. This young man plays the violin. You would think it was an angel. And bringing those different people as I go around and speak and to kids. I always have somebody tell me they want to be a pro, they want to be a basketball player, some rappers or what have you. And there's nothing wrong with aspiring to be those great things, but you also have to understand there's work that comes along with that.
So
and
much
parents, work. What they're sharing with you, they're training you for what your next life is to come, because it starts with listening.
Yes, sir.
Can you listen?
Yes, sir.
And so can you share what you just heard? I often tell my kids, after I say what I need to say to them, I tell them, what did I tell you? What
yes.
did I just say? Explain back to me what I said to you.
Yeah.
Because I want to see if you're really listening. So can you do that? I often do that at work when I have somebody I'm directing or what have you. I have
leadership.
Someone at the center. I said, I want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt you understand what I just said to you. So could you repeat back what I said, how you understood it? Mm-hmm. Because some people legitimately are listening, but they understand it differently. A lot of young people think that, you know, oh man, that'll never be me. I can't do that. I can't reach it. You don't say what you can't do. You may not be able to do it right now,
yes,
but
sir.
You get in a leadership program. You follow a gentleman like Mark and a gentleman like Elder Lopes here. You look where we've come from. It's not luck. It's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of hard work. It's a matter of yes. education. So you have to insert yourself.
That's
if
right.
you want to be something, you got to do something.
That's
now
right.
you just got to find out what that something is.
That's
and
right.
find people who know what they're doing and can guide you. Because that's what this is about. Navigating your way through the world, it takes help. You
yes,
hear the saying, it takes a village to raise a child?
Yes.
It truly does. I just buried, I just went to a funeral of a lady that she was a beautiful mother, but she also, the love that she had for her kids extended beyond her home
yeah.
to other kids that were in the neighborhood and everything like that. So that comes from back in the day, if you did something wrong, well, Miss Jones could give you a spanking and then take you home, tell your parents what you did, and they would spank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
But unfortunately, times have changed. We have a lot of monsters out here that have just totally reshape the landscape of what parenting and what good neighboring is.
Yes.
So you have to be protective of your kids. So you
yes.
have to equip them as much as you possibly can and insulate them around good people, whether it's in your home, outside your home, you can direct. So
absolutely.
Just getting involved with these different organizations, like I mean, Elder Lopes, I tip my hat to you, because not only have you done it, you put your work in books so you can share.
Yes.
This very show is a godsend. So
Sorry.
It can share to multiple viewers of the trials and tribulations of an individual and the graduation of
yeah.
point A to point Z. And now he's starting over with an AA, a BB. You may not have the plan, but you have to have a plan to
yeah.
get to that plan. So in other words,
You're going to have to get educated. What do you want to be? You want to be a pro ball player? You want to be an author, what have you? How do you become that? Do you know one? I always ask kids, if you want to be something, do you know someone that's doing it?
So study. And so what I always tell everyone, too, is if you don't personally, because they're like, well, you don't get it. You have so-and-so on your show. I didn't start by having anyone. It started by me. So it's read the story. You don't have to personally know Michael Jordan, but read his story behind the story of when he didn't make the sophomore basketball team and got cut, went home and cried, started shooting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shots, so there were calluses on his hand, they were bleeding. You can look up golfers that have the best drive, and you don't see them getting up at 4 a.m., doing it till their hands were bleeding. You'll see the same correlation of they weren't just born with a talent and the skill.
That's right.
And I think the more you can, if you can get to know someone as a mentor, be around them, it's amazing. And get to know any, like, this is all about, like, you hear the story behind the story.
Right.
Like you were just talking about the congressman.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ray Miller.
Having Ray Miller come to your multicultural center is doing the same thing. It's giving back because he's sharing. I believe when you get to a level, then your next responsibility is you're responsible for sharing the wisdom that you've gained.
Exactly.
And that means sharing not just the good. Mm-hmm. It's getting into the struggles and telling them, I got through this.
That's right.
So can you.
Absolutely. And you don't have to get it the same way. But go ahead. I don't want
to.
No, I just wanted to interject. When you were talking about how the incident that God allowed you to go through the School of Hard Knocks to when and it was tragic. It was tragic, of course, but that's what I call attention getters. Just like God had to do something to get Moses' attention through the burning bush, and that was attention getter to get you focus off yourself as a young lad and get you more focus on him. And
absolutely.
And what me and Daniel both agreed on, actually me and Daniel witnessed a car accident on the freeway. Coming here to this program show this morning. The image in my mind, what kind of car was it again? It was a gray sports Camaro, and they were speeding, and we were on the freeway, and it sped out of control.
And it's icy out there, so everyone watching this too, you know, we're in Columbus, Ohio. It's wintertime. Yeah. It's icy roads.
It was truly. I got distracted momentarily. I was driving, and Daniel coached me, said, keep stay focused on the road. Make sure you stay in your lane. And see, that's the area, because my eyes started, when I saw the person hit the wall, and their feet was dangling from the windshield.
Out the window.
It was a female. It was a female. My first instinct was to slam on the brakes and jump out and help this woman.
But then
I would have got hit because were caught in traffic, but it happened right in front of us. God is our witness. It was truly a miracle that we made it here safely today, and by the grace of God, we thank God for that. But I just wanted to say, your incident with you, that was a tension getter that God used. My incident was a little bit different, that God used to get my attention. And real briefly, when I was young, I lost my vision in my left eye when I was a teenager in high school. Completely blind in my left eye. So everything I do vision-wise is out of my right eye. I was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome at an early age. They say statistically people with Marfans don't live past the age of 21. And by the grace of God, I'm 48 now.
Wow.
Actually there's a basketball player that was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome as well. Used to play college basketball. I believe his name was Isaiah. He was a center was about to be drafted, but he was not able to be drafted in the NBA because of that condition. But I had open heart surgery in the year of 2000. They repaired a mitral valve between my upper and lower chamber of my heart.
Yeah.
And I remember laying there in the hospital bed, and I was having all these visions and these dreams. And
I think, like, this has been great, always, with both of you, too. It's been an honor. It's been an honor.
Thank you.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
And I just want everyone to listen, though. I love it. I relate to anyone that can be real and share adversity and transparency. And everyone listening, you're going to go through something. And I think the most important thing that we're all talking about is all of us, we go through struggles, but your story doesn't end there.
No.
Like, that struggle is what transforms you to keep persevering. Like, you have to learn to keep persevering.
Elevating beyond.
And fighting that good fight.
That's right.
And then, that's right. And then keep taking it to the next level and never settle. That's what I was going to say, never give up.
That's right.
And keep.
After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit schwans.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.